Good morning and welcome to the Presbyterian Church of Floyd. What a glorious day this is. It's a day when we will be celebrating the Lord's Supper in our sanctuary. And for all of those who are listening remotely, I hope you will also have an opportunity to remember the Lord's Supper, at least in your hearts, and be able to think about the significance of what it means to have that Last Supper with Jesus. This morning I'm going to have a message out of 2 Timothy. I always love Paul's letters to Timothy. They're always so personal and so meaningful. And so I hope you'll enjoy this morning's message, which I have entitled, Called to a Holy Life. So as we prepare now to hear the word, let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your presence. We thank you for the way that you bless us. And Lord, as we hear the words this morning of the Apostle Paul in his letter to Timothy, we pray that you will help us to understand his message and what it is he is talking about in terms of being called to live a holy life. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your grace. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So our scripture passage this morning does come from 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. This is the word of the Lord. As I was preparing to move to Virginia about 8.5 years ago now, I realized it was an opportunity to get rid of certain possessions that I would not need or use in the future. It was a time to clean house, if you will. It was a time to downsize. There was no point in bringing along extra things that I could easily leave behind. But it also caused me to get rid of things with sentimental value. They were things of the heart, if you will. But still, I knew that I could remember those things without bringing the physical objects. In other words, I used this major transition in my life, this calling to serve my Lord Jesus and to go wherever God was calling me. I used this as another step of faith, leaving certain sentimental things behind. It became a time of realizing what my true treasures were. And what did I treasure? Yes, I treasured my family and friends. Yes, I treasured my home and the many things that I had collected over many years. But I realized that I did not treasure anything more than the opportunity to serve my Lord and to go where He was calling. And so I asked God for courage. And I stepped out in faith and love. As I read this passage today from Paul's second letter to Timothy, I wish I had had a Paul in my life to encourage me for the future and to remind me of the roots of my faith, which also came from my mother and grandmother. How inspiring it would have been to have known someone who had suffered and sacrificed for the glory of God. But then, of course, I did have someone, and I still do today. And so do you. The Spirit of Christ Himself gives us that inspiration we need to be bold in our faith. When Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, he was sitting in prison in Rome. This is his second imprisonment there, but unlike his first, where he was under house arrest and was able to have visitors, Paul is now imprisoned at the hands of the Roman Emperor Nero, who was a brutal and vicious man. Nero persecuted Christians. And Paul was in a dungeon-like cell, literally in chains. He knew he would likely never have his actual freedom again. He wanted to ensure that young Timothy would now take his passion for serving Jesus and that he would carry his faith forward into the new world at hand. Paul was passing the torch to Timothy, and he was passing it with the love of a father to a son. Now, you might say that Paul treasures Timothy's tears. Did you hear what he said in his letter? Paul says, "Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." Now, just to be clear, Timothy was not Paul's actual son, but clearly they had a father-son relationship, and Paul held Timothy's future ministry to be dear, and it was something where Paul was preparing Timothy to really take on his ministry for the future. Paul was nearing the end of his life and the end of his ministry, obviously, And so he was preparing Timothy. Now, Timothy's tears suggest a bond of love and friendship. Paul's own tears surely were filled with memories of three generations of faithful followers of Jesus. But what are those memories? Did Lois and Eunice convene a church to meet in their home? Did they risk their own safety to be loyal to Jesus? Did they lose something or someone they treasured because of their faith? Does Paul remember a specific word of encouragement, a prayer of blessing, or a gift of support for his work? We don't know for sure, but we know that they passed their faithfulness on to Timothy, who was now taking on the heavy responsibility of continuing Paul's ministry. Paul says to Timothy, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace." Those are Paul's words to Timothy. The gift of God that Paul alludes to here is surely faith. Faith is the great treasure passed on like a family heirloom, and it must continue to be passed from generation to generation. Paul was preparing not only Timothy for the work to be done, but he was preparing all of us as well. We too have inherited the gift of God, the gift of faith, and we cannot afford to be timid. There is an urgency in Paul's message. We know from Romans chapter 1, verse 14, that Paul told the Roman church, "I have a duty to all people." He had something for them, a message. He'd been entrusted as a courier with a divine message. In Romans 1:16, he wrote, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes." You see, Paul existed to deliver that message, and how people remembered him personally was not important. Be reminded that Paul was the one that Jesus selected personally to be his representative to the world. He changed Paul and made him the apostle that he was. So Paul's message was not about himself, but rather it was all about Christ. He hoped he had prepared Timothy well to carry on with this dedication to the message of Jesus. He hoped that the gift of faith would keep him true to the holy life to which he was called. Paul said, "What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us." So on this Sunday, when we will celebrate the Lord's Supper, the knowledge that God chooses us outside of our own capacities and abilities awakens another kind of knowledge in our hearts. The fact that God chose us by His grace before we were capable of choosing for ourselves is a reason for celebration and remembrance. If we understand ourselves as God's servants, called by grace to do this work of receiving faith and passing it on, we can also understand this: there will be bread for the journey. As Christians, we are gathering around the table of our Lord. We are a part of the universal church of Jesus Christ. In nearly every language that is spoken upon the earth, people are reminded that God welcomes us to this table and sets before us the elements of His grace. So friends, we know that the Spirit of Christ is present with us this morning as we partake of the Lord's Supper. He encourages us to open our hands like eager children so that we may receive the bread of life. The mysterious gift of faith, the treasure passed on through countless generations, makes us welcome at the Lord's table. You are welcome, sisters and brothers, visitors, friends, strangers, travelers. Everyone is welcome at the Lord's table. And so, along with countless people throughout the world, we are invited to receive the bread of life and the cup of salvation. With open hands and hearts, we are welcome to receive God's grace through Jesus Christ, our Lord. To the glory of God. Amen. And now, friends, this morning we have a real joy in hearing this song that Alan Vest has prepared for us. It's a song that he has written himself. The words and the music are by Alan Vest. He has entitled it, A Place for You and Me. So let us rejoice in this original composition by Alan Vest, A Place for You and Me. Stay for thee.
save a place for you and me. So go out these doors and love each other. Family, friends, and strangers just the same. Let all of us be givers and makers, not takers, and live the love He gave us after all. A place for you and me, and let us sing, and let us pray, and let us thank the Lord for every given day. So as we go this table be, always say a place for you and me. Always say a place for you and me.
Wow, our thanks to Alan for that great song. That is beautiful and speaks so tenderly about what we experience when we have the Lord's Supper, when we come together as family, as a group of Christians, as a group of believers. So thank you to Alan for a place for you and me. And now, friends, as we head into a new week, let us remember that the Apostle Paul gave so much in his life for the sake of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so each of us also must think about what it is that we treasure in our lives. And hopefully we will come to that realization that what we treasure more than anything else, more than any kind of material wealth or anything else, is that relationship that we have with Jesus. And as Paul says here in his gospel, he says, "For the Spirit of God does gave us what this for the Spirit that God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner." And so he's calling us to not be timid, to be bold in our faith and in our testimony to others about our faith. I hope you all have a wonderful week ahead, and thank you for listening.